Good morning and welcome. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks starts right now, right here on your Voice of Barbados. I'm your host, I'm your moderator. We go until 2 p.m. this afternoon. And my producer, starting off the batting as producer, is Ronnie the Clark. So when you call, your number is 434-1790, 434-1790. You would hear Ronnie and you can ask to be put in queue to engage in the national discourse this morning. Of course, the WhatsApp continues to work and you can access it at 266-4862 to be part of the national discussion. I am glad to be here, as I am often reminded by myself and others that it is really a privilege to sit in this chair, to be able to engage in national discourse with the objective of how do we make Barbados better? How can Barbados be good? How can it be better? And how can it be the best? This national project, Brass Tacks, belongs to you, the callers. And I beseech you to take the opportunity to pick up the phone, especially if you have concerns, ideas, or comments about what is going on at the community level, what is going on at the national level that can engage in the project called Barbados First. Go Barbados, go Barbados, go. So there are lots of prefatory remarks and ideas and comments I would like to make, but because we have the lines going already, and as I said, this is a call-in program, it is your program, I would wish for you to set the agenda. So I say good morning and welcome to the first caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning and welcome. Thanks for being our first caller. You're on the air.
No problem. Mm-hmm. You said you asked the question, how can we make Barbados better?
That's correct.
I think the only way Barbados can be made better is through its people. Mm-hmm. Yes, that mm-hmm. is my... I am going to leave it at that, and I'm going to tell you my reason for calling. On Monday, the 29th of June, which is Monday gone, I came across the road to Central Station. But I was having a problem, a medical problem, so I pulled over by the hair store. I parked in the, or stopped in the north parking area. The guard came out and he told me I have to move the vehicle because the gentleman has to deliver hair products. I said, well, sir, I'm having a medical issue. He said, move the vehicle from there. Mm-hmm. I started then to drive as slowly as I could because I know with what was happening, I would not have been able to man the vehicle in any correct form or fashion. So I was using my wrist to steer the vehicle, so I got to Central Gate. On getting there, the officer, the sentinel, the sentry, let the vehicle, police vehicle out, and then I got his attention. I said, sir, I'm having a problem. I'm not able to man the vehicle. He told me, well, pull the vehicle to the left. And his manner, demeanor, pleasantry, everything about him is what prompted me to call this morning. Mm-hmm. My hands were swollen to such a big extensive state. I could not fold my fingers or anything. He came back to the vehicle then, and he said, ma'am, is everything okay? I said, the hands still keep swelling. I don't know what happened. He said, did you get through to some person? I said, yes, I called my sister to come and take over the vehicle for me. My sister was unable to get there in a good time because I was there relatively long, and my sister's husband came then. I said to them, before I leave town, go back round so I can say thank you to this police officer. But on coming back round, he was not there. The guard had changed. This was approximately between 1:15 and 1:45 before I missed him from the gate. So I just want to say to that officer who took the time to lend assistance when it was needed, I want to say a heartfelt thank you to him. I tried calling, I did call Central this morning to get his number. I'm sorry that I did not take his badge, the number on his applet, to get his number because I want to thank him personally. I know when the police do stuff and things don't go right, people make a whole big national uproar about it. Mm-hmm. But this one, in my view, will stay with me forever and ever. He was such a pleasant man. On getting to my family doctor, I discovered I was having an adverse allergic reaction, which could have been worse, you understand, had I stayed any longer. Yes? Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Lane, I don't know what to tell you. This man was not aggressive in any form or fashion. This is the... I know they got good caliber of policemen within the police establishment. Mm-hmm. And if it can, if their person such as him in there, I think it is persons like himself who should be held up standard of what the police force can be and what it ought to be. So once again, I'm going to end to the Sentinel or Sentry who worked Central on June 29th between the hours of 1 and 1:45, because that's when I miss you. A heartfelt thank you, sir, and keep up the good work. That's all I have to say, Mr. Lane.
Before you run, I just want to say this to you directly. Just like him, you are... Actually, you should be held up, and this call should be held up, because lots of people will take the opportunity to call when they have their grievances. When it's time to complain, to bemoan, and so on, this program is used very effectively for that. Uh-huh. And not only that, I am happy that this is the first call. It sets a tone, which says that Brassas is not only here to assist in correcting some community and macro problems and to complain, to bellyache, but it can also be used to highlight, to inspire others to do the best that they can do in the line of duty. So I want to commend you, along with commending the officer on this occasion. So I want to say thank you very much for that.
You are most welcome, sir. Have a good day.
And you have a fantastic day as well. Brastax, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey. This is Glenn Murray.
You just crossed my mind when I said inspire. Good morning, sir.
Why you always mess me up, you know? I know I will see you low, right? But anytime I begin to see you low, I will call you again. But I'm glad to start off the way you did this morning, where you spoke about the importance of Brass Tacks. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You call a project, but I call it an institution. It's a national institution. A project sounds too technical and too impersonal. This is a social institution that has come out, has mushroomed and established itself over the very many years in the Barbadian psyche, in the Barbadian personality, in the Barbadian operational socially. And I say that because, and this is something I had in my mind to say, but I think this is the opportune time to say it. On any given day, especially a Sunday and some days during the week, right? The quality of discourse and discussion on Brass Tacks is the best and highest in Barbados, publicly, higher than anything in Parliament, really. And I say that deliberately. And so it's a quality institution that we have to treasure and develop. We do not ever minimize its importance, its impact, the role it plays. And I just want to say that for the record, that it is something more than just a talk. So it's a national institution. Like I said, because Brass Tacks discusses ideas, and ideas what run the world, and ideas are what we call intellectuals are really ideas. So it is the highest intellectual forum on a good day. Okay. It's the highest intellectual forum and public intellectual forum I know of in Barbados.
I wanna underline that before you move on or expand, for the persons who may not to this day understand why we try to shy away from personal attacks. Sometimes you have persons who will use the program to attack one person. And I mean, it is so selfish, it is so inconsiderate, because here you have thousands of people listening and you have a squabble between one person and another person, and they use pick up the phone and call the person. Because a project, an institution such as this should not be used in such a low fashion.
That is why
we really, really want to show you. Not that you're afraid or it is just, it's just not the place.
Let the producer do his task. So anytime you get in a personal, dump the call. Mm-hmm. That's all. And we'll get.
Hear that, Ronnie?
I'd like to extend my personal congrats to Ronnie on Liverpool's success. I hadn't had a chance to call in on his day of triumph, but I just want to let him know that
He holding up his shirt. you know he got a Liverpool shirt, right? I almost mistake it for his skin.
But you know about
he always have it on.
you remember the socks and the underwear?
No.
Purchase?
All right, you sit down, Ronnie. You sit down. Yes, please.
I want to talk about statues in Barbados. Not so much Lord Ness, but statues of Barbados. But let me put it in a social and cultural context. Growing up in Barbados in the 50s, mostly in the 50s, and somewhat in the 60s, we were accustomed to hearing that Barbados had no culture. It was said as a truism. Black people accept as a form we had no culture because what was our popular mass culture, right, largely out of Africa, the black people's culture, was not seen in the same light as what was done by the European colonizers, Britain, et cetera, in Barbados, or what came out of North America. So it was said that we had no culture. And let me say that a statue is a form of cultural expression. So that's why I link it to culture. And then we had, because we had no culture, we never taught anybody about, you know who were our heroes?
Tell us.
Our heroes are these cowboys and crooks mm-hmm. that we saw in the cinemas on Saturdays. Johnny Mack Brown, mm-hmm. Las LaRue, Tom Mix, right? Those were our heroes because those are pop heroes around young Barbadians when they went to the theater because those are only people they had to look up to.
This was in the day when you all used to, and I say you all because when you all used to put the matchbox in the shirt and roll it up. I saw some pictures with that. Kind of style is this? I thought it came from some cowboy movie, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we used to argue about who had the fastest horse, who could draw the quickest, mm-hmm. who looked the best in the crew, had the best hat, all kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, in those days, we never want, and all like then Nelson was in place, you know. We never want to look at Nelson as our heroes. That is where you got the, you know, the term here, a star boy.
Mm-hmm.
You imitated what you saw on the screen. You somehow you became like, you see, you're a star boy. That's how star boy got into Barbadian lingo. That's how it's not being used in a promo called a star pigeon. It came with you a star boy because mm-hmm. those are the people you saw on the screen. And you idealized them for various reasons. And they were then replaced at a point with cricket is the Garfield Sobers, Well House Sobers. When the West Indies emerged internationally, they became all popular heroes, right? And then there was a cultural awakening that came about, starting Carrifest in 1981. Then the NCS was created, and then they had a season of emancipation. Buster came into being in 1985, right?
Mm-hmm.
1985. So I'm saying that, and I think those in the government, like they're forgetting their legacy. The Barbados Leopard really has the strongest legacy on culture in Barbados. The creation, they say, Carrifest in 1981, the creation of the NCF, I think around 1984, and all the other things that have flowed from that. So we are the party, really. I mean, Barbados, Buster was the first popularly installed culture in Barbados in 1985. So we, and then we had Grand Yams in 1998. We got a excellent Alibar, and then sometime thereafter, Sir Frank Walker, Sir Gary Sobers. So we, out of the 10 national heroes, we have already put 5 in statue form. Mm-hmm. I think that's a tremendous compliment to a young, developing, emerging society that has found itself. When they hear people talk, when they see Nelson's statue, they feel angry, they infuriate them. It affects them as it makes them feel less than. How could that make you feel less than a barbarian when you have 5 statues of barbarians done by barbarians of their own being, their own finances? I think
a point you made earlier is, for me, the critical point is that, as you said, he's there, no one's really paying attention to him. But the fact that he is there is some official acknowledgement that he ought to be there, because a statue, especially in a city, is no small thing. You and I cannot go and erect no big statue anywhere, especially in the city. So therefore, it has some significance. I like the idea of the referendum in that, you know, people are given their a democratic say in the whether or not the general or the majority of Barbadians believe he ought to be there. But, you know, the danger in it is just what you're saying. Some people don't care if he come, if he there or not.
Corey, mm-hmm. we did not, the Barbados Labour Party, government of which I was a part of the time, did not hold a referendum to determine, create the 10 national heroes.
Mm-hmm.
That was a decision out of consultation and aware that you took a decision at some point. Mm-hmm. The same has to be done with Nelson. I don't think it needs a referendum for a statue. Barbados, which has had an organized government since 1630, you know, you'd be a laughing stock of the world. A statue mm-hmm. of a man who's not even a Barbadian, he's a non-entity. Mm-hmm. So he's never really offended me. And therefore, I see that we should be spending our time now. And before you go, remember that I want to give a little advice to Minister King, John King. We should be spending time determining among ourselves who are the next five that should be remain statue of. Mm-hmm. Which one first? Who should go where? How are we going to raise the money? And further cement our statues in our own cultural space in Barbados at this time. Not worrying about a non-entity called Lord Nelson. And I think that's what we have.
And it's because he's a non-entity that he needs to go and go forth with.
No, no, he's a non-entity relative to our society today. He has no standing in Barbados. So don't waste time. Let's focus on putting five more statues.
Glenn, you kind of got me lost and confused. You believe he's a non-entity in Barbados today, and even before, in the recent past, right? He's a non-entity. So shouldn't he be moved forthwith?
But he is loitering
in Bridgetown.
He was a product of his time.
Right.
He's a product of his time. I feel that makes me, let me get the point I want to make. No, the last point. I think we should stop looking at concentrating all the statues around Bridgetown. I think we should disperse the other five at some salient points in various parts. So you nationalize the whole thing. You spread it around the society. So you don't have to come to Bridgetown to see a statue in Northern Barbados. Put one in St. Lucie, St. Peter, St. James, St. John. I think we should look at where we do it next five, and then the next generation, when they want, come in the next group of heroes, they could decide where they're going to put them. But let me make another point.
My thing, before you move on, my thing is, I would leave that there. For instance, you agree, I disagree, and I believe that there are should be bodies like the same people's assemblies and constituency councils and so on that should be able to come and feel the pulse of a program like this, as you said, an institution like this, right? And then carry on the ongoing debate, consultation to a point, make a decision, and then have that action carried out. So you don't have to go the constant back and forth on a program like this. But continue.
I don't any government in the Barbados would ever lose a government, lose its power, office, or lesson. I really don't.
Right, the majority of people are not really plugged into civics, you know. A lot of people, the masses, are really, from my experience, they're plugged into the bread and butter issues.
Precisely.
But I believe it is the solemn duty of a government, right? To have its people engage in civics in a way, in terms of what is going on, its histories, its cultures, its norms, to be able to understand to the connection between their lot in life and things that went before. Like, there are some people who are saying, man, that's the past. But the past affects the bread and butter issues for the individual for today. A lot of it has to do with the mentality and the psyche of people. To just go along like a zombie, like a drone. That's my fundamental feeling.
Let me tell you, when I was growing up, I think at St. John's, I did a lot of civics. And when we went through the Barbadian government and who is what and what, Nelson was mentioned as a statue. He was that's back in the 50s and regarded as a hero. He just happened to be an obstruction.
But Glenn, let us move on from that. I'll tell you what, I get high sometimes talking about Nelson, because I remember in primary school, they was talking about Nelson. And then I heard a program with Aja. Recently, and they said they marched from Nelson from those marches in late 60s and 70s, yeah. And I mean 2020 saying, man, like, move the damn statue and call it a day. A lot of this long talk, I just feel uncomfortable, man. I feel like I'm part of the problem of the cycle of talk in the echo chamber, you know.
But that is democracy.
Well, no, man, that is democracy. That is the mockery, you see.
It's not all efficient,
you
know? And tidy, but it's democracy.
Oh, man, throw move the man. Again, I saw they gave the government to the 26th of July. And some people give them to the 1st of August, okay? I put in $5 to buy the hustle wire to pull him down. I put in the first $5. I donated $5 to the hustle wire.
You're encouraging lawlessness.
No, I'm encouraging revolutionary movement.
That is lawlessness.
When Bassa broke away at the time, did you know that was lawlessness? Did you know Bassa was lawless?
But you cannot put in comparison. Mm-hmm. I suppose a stay of better.
Different times. That is the break chain of the 2020, Glenn.
We have a government that takes decision on our behalf that we elect is a democracy. Mm-hmm. Let it, that is public authority. You're encouraging lawlessness, so you can't go and damage or distaste stuff just like that, just to prove that because you see it on TV, having an offer, you can go and do it now.
No. My thing is not tied to that. I actually, if you remember when they were turning around Nelson, this way before Black Lives Matter, there was a plot afoot to drop it. For me, that would have been the more passive type of barbarian revolution. I don't know if you're familiar with that plot, but I understand it was a plot to mistake and drop him.
Let me drop him.
Mistake and let him slip off the crane, and then we would not be having this discussion.
No, okay.
Anyhow, let's see. You got to land the plane because we got to move on.
Yeah, all right, quickly. Mm-hmm. I would just like to say that I just like to give a bit of advice to Minister John King, which I think got himself in a spot of hot water over his comment over the same nation statue. When he was in government under Prime Minister Wayne Aster, he said to warn us never indulge in what he called instant policy.
Mm-hmm.
So a reporter pushes a microphone in your face, ask the question, you have to respond instantly. This particular way involves government policy. There's nothing wrong. There's no law that says you have to answer a reporter's question or request it answer there and then. And if you're not seized in your mind, as Minister King spoke, it was clear that he had not made in my mind. Let him say so. But to seek to formulate a policy, you know, which has not been properly thought through. The same thing as some of the Minister Joyce Sutherland and these things over the car dealership. Think it through before you make a statement so that you have a cohesive, coherent body of opinion that out of which asking can be taken, which has been sanctioned by your cabinet and not just off the top of your head. You might mean well, you might think it because you're inspired by the occasion or whatnot, but always, it always lands you in trouble. Thank you very much, Corey.
All right, no problem. We pick up that one next time because I do have some views on that as well. Before we move on to the next caller, today, July 1st, marks the second half of the great 2020. The great in many ways, the not so great in even more. So we got to see if we are actually going to make it down to December. As an eternal optimist, I believe we will. They say the next thing coming is the killer locusts and the alien invasion. So keep your eyes open. July 1st also marks the removal of all the COVID restrictions, and we are supposed to be back to normal for the most part. And we can also get your comments on that. Particularly of great interest is the idea of the airport and what we do within the tourism sector and allowing visitors from over in a sea, over way, as we say, or overseas. What are your thoughts on that? On a sadder note, I really want to pay some tribute to two persons at this time. And one is well known to many of us. I see here on Online Nation that we would have had a business journalist and also former moderator Patrick Hoyas passing away this morning, and I would like to say condolences to him and his family. Veteran journalist, he passed away early this morning at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital here, according to the Nation News. So condolences to his family on that passing. Another one I wanted to give for some time, not so well known, but a part of the Brastatz family nonetheless, is Clifton Edgar Pilgrim. He was better known in the Brastatz chat as Bar Lucian, and he made many, many contributions on a daily basis to the program, not only in Brastatz, but the entire VOB. So I would like to wish him rest in peace, and to the chat family, condolences to each and every one of you and his biological family. 24 minutes after 10, you're listening to Down to Brass Tacks. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Liddy.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, a couple of things here. I suspect that, listen to Mr. Glenn Murray, I keep hearing a repetition, and I realize not only Mr. Murray, Mark Williams, and the gentleman who used to work in the port, and up to yesterday he was, I heard the moderator is telling him that he was being critical of Mark, but yeah, he was talking about a certificate for people to work on a ship, which he mentioned about three times the right. So sometimes I think as we get older, we seem to get very forgetful, and we keep repeating ourselves over and over again. My question to you, though, removing lawlessness, what significance does it prove when you look around Barbados and you see that every other 2 or 3 weeks, some young black boy has lost his life. And the murder rate is going up and going up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we should be concentrating on is trying to get the young people in Barbados to start kicking out one another. Long as it starts you, whether it means they or not, as far as I'm concerned, it's neither here nor there with me. But I would tell you something. We in Barbados, we want more heroes than the Soviet Union, which have 9 different time zones. So what are you purposing all this removing Nelson to prove what? Why are you proving when you move it?
Let me work backward. The Soviet Union and then don't set our bar. You understand? So whether they got 1, 10, or 100, we choose how much we want over in this place. It's called the little independence that we pretend to have from time to time. That's numero uno. Numero dos, I hear a lot and I read a lot on social media the argument about how could Black Lives Matter be called black people doing this to the self? What Laura Nelson got to do with the price of sugar? You see, there's a fundamental connection, right? Why are black people killing themselves? Why are black people higher in the level of crime? And I hear a lot of other people speaking to this, but I don't even want to bring it from their perspective. I like to bring it from my own perspective. For every problem, there's a root. Every problem, there's a seed. You see, we like to look at the physical, but there's also a spiritual world. There's a psyche and a psychology behind a lot of the things that we've done from the past to the reason why we do things today. Because we are trapped in the hustle and bustle of everyday life, we do not stop and think, why do we eat the food that we eat? Why do we dress the way that we dress? A lot of these things come from our past. And until you address the past, until you know where you come from, they say you don't know where you're going. And it's very esoteric and it sounds pretty and it's fluffy. But when you bring it down, you draw it down, you strip it bare. It basically says that to deal with the murder is not the murder of black people and the crime and the poverty and so on. It's not mutually exclusive of looking at these psychological symbols, which it almost in the psyche and the subconscious reminds you that you are enslaved, that reminds you that you are subservient, that reminds you, that depresses you, that causes a lot of people, when I say you, not everybody, some people are stronger than others, but the importance of it is to say, wake up people, understand that yes, we got to worry about where my next meal coming from, but do you want to live like that forever? To start to get the psyche to think in a different way. And that's the most succinct way I could put it. There's a lot more depth to it, but he represents a seed and a root of the problem that you are looking at to say, let's just deal with the bad apple. Let's just deal with the bad fruit, as opposed to dealing with the root causes.
But when you remove him, you still haven't done anything?
It's a psychological symbol. When the head is bad, the body is bad.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
Anybody believe that should go and walk the sea backwards?
So
I am concerned.
That anybody believe that the head is bad, the body is bad? You have your opinion, I have mine. I ain't arguing that one, boy.
Yeah, thank you.
That one. That's it?
Yes, sir.
Well, more than thank you. Brastats, good morning, you're on the air. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brastats, you're on the air. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, good morning.
Good. I want to deal with a number of things. It's going to roll one into the next. We can discuss. We're going to start with Nelson. But before we start with Nelson, let me say this to the previous caller and all those out there who think removing Nelson is not important or putting him someplace else. The United States of America, Brazil, England, Ireland, Australia, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, all of these nations, when you check them out, especially America, one of the things that the American Senate did and said, they give money in the early days to filmmaking and stuff like this and the arts and all these kind of things. You know why? Because they say it's important for us to have images of ourselves and our culture must be recorded of ourselves. No. The next thing is this. My personal opinion, I believe, Corey, that Nelson should be put in the Parliament Yard or in the Parliament building. I think we should take Parliament and turn it into a working, living museum where we involve the schools, the politics, and stuff like that. we move our parliament into a new building somewhere that is better equipped, better allows us to move forward as a nation. So that's where I'm starting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
No, I want all opinions to contain. I like where you're going. Continue.
Right. Now, in that phase of we're doing physical, let's also do the emotionally and the intellectual. Let us move on to becoming a republic. Mm-hmm. Let us move on. It is time for us to look at our laws, take out laws that have been in existence since slavery. Let's move on. We need to move. We are standing still, and we're standing still for too long.
I want to write on that in terms of symbols and symbolism and what it means, because some people don't understand. There are many people, there's the other side of this argument, sir, which says to us, okay, after you put in there, how does that put food on my table? Y'all doing that, but Broad Street still. I don't know if I could point to something that ran through my mind when you spoke, and that is like, I didn't remember points in time, especially when I'm overseas and you hear the national anthem or you see that Barbadian flag, the goosebumps, the feeling, if they can relate to that, because there are lots of people who don't relate to these type of things. They could care less. But if we can find somewhere to tap into that consciousness, and consciousness is a big word in this whole thing. A lot of people are not conscious, or they're not plugged in to their society and the whole macro Barbados project. But if we can get them to tap into that using those types of symbols that they may more identify with, then the whole thing about becoming a republic and holding your chest a little bit higher, you know, and your head up a little more, you know, I think that type of a project may be more successful, because you don't start a baby with hard food. Sometimes you may have to use that kind of mashed potato type of style, you know?
Agreed. But in putting Nelson there and turning the entire parliament into a museum and stuff like that, you're talking paid. Mm-hmm. So those who say, if we move Nelson, the English ain't going to come here, prove to me that the coming here because of Nelson, pay to go and see him. You want him? Pay to go see him. Now, I am going to move to my next thing, which is, I believe that it's time, also in looking at a republic, that we also look to the idea of ministers being total professionals. Mm-hmm. And so, meaning that the person who runs in my area to represent me, he does not go to become a minister. We have people who are going to university and trained to become ministers. Mm-hmm. And we have criteria for them to follow. And when we judge them on that criteria to do the job, they're fired, you bring in somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. Represent us.
Mm-hmm. It's got professional
politicians. I think that's one of the things that we need to, exactly. We need, we need to have, hold on. Corey, are you going to go to a doctor who just decided he won't be a doctor, or are you going to a doctor who was trained?
No, I agree with this point. You know, we had a lot about how to reform the system, and they always point to a conversation we had in this very, very room with former Minister Stephen Lashley and present Prime Minister Mia Motley about the abolishing the Senate and using professional CEOs for ministries, and that kind of discussion have gone on for some time. And I believe that, for me, again, the whole idea of Westminster system, something that we would have inherited, to go the way the Republic, just for going the way the Republic say it, I believe that there's a lot of functionality in changing all these things that we inherit. We don't change them just because we inherit them, because a lot of people think that we develop because of them. And I've always argued that we've developed in spite of them, because the system is fraught with so much bureaucracy. Because even going beyond the minister, you have to look at permanent secretaries. Now, good morning to all my permanent secretary friends. I love you as usual. Cuss me as you do. But the point of the matter is, and you know this, there are permanent secretaries that support government policy, and there are permanent secretaries that frustrate government policy. Now, I don't think wholesale dealing with them is advisable, because then you have things like political interference. But the system as it is set up right now, where there's almost a battle between policy and implementation, between minister and permanent secretary in this country, I believe is Barbados's number one problem, or one of the number one problems when you talk about the ease of doing business, getting things done, what you call and you can't get accountability, what you call and you can't get things done, what you can't get businesses set up, what you can't get investment in the country. country. All of these things are directly related to what you're talking about, sir, in terms of changing. The point that you are making is so fundamental, but it has to be comprehensive and go right down the way, because I agree with you. If you get Sam Pooch and the Duppy running, and because of popularity, they may be good constituency representatives in the... No. They may be good at winning popularity contests, but are they good at running a ministry? But those are the people that you... That is the pool you select from to run a ministry.
Yes. But not only that, Corey, it is... Well, also, when you look at it, it is unfair to the ministers and people who run and your area represent you. We are putting them really and truly under immense pressure.
The ones that really tune in to do what they want to do, because some people start off with the pressure and some people look and recognize what's going on and say, okay, you see this here?
I see no more. If we have them professionally trained at university.
But my last question to ask you, because we gotta move on, but before we do so, my thing is, how do we move from where we are, some place that we've been for hundreds of years, to get to where we need to be? Because from, you know what we're going to do from here, there needs to be enough noise. And even if there's enough noise, and I use that word purposely, even if there's enough noise, how do we then get beyond what is the usual next step? A commission on governmental reform, you know, the reports and the town halls that will follow, the rhetoric that will follow.
We can fast track certain things, Corey, because we can look around the world first to see who is doing what, and we can use it to tweak. Mm-hmm. We can tweak it to our thing. Like in New Zealand, they have professional permanent secretaries. It's a thing you're training at university for it, and things. So the incoming government brings in their own people, so to speed up the process.
Fast track Barbados. Exactly. No, exactly. That's oxymoron. Have a blessed and wonderful day. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Don't you move. The Wednesday edition of Brass Tacks continues. The WhatsApp says, Corey, you can let the lady who called about the police, she can go to Central, speak to the station sergeant, and he would check the diary and informed her who the constable was. And they've got a number of messages similar to that, encouraging. There was someone actually on my phone, Morning Ryan, who was willing to actually check so we can give some kudos on air. Okay, 19 minutes before 11. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome. Brass Tacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, morning. Go ahead.
How are you?
I'm.
You know what happened in the world now, right there in the Bible?
Some people can
say that no, and doth it not, shall be licked with many stripes. Money is the root of all evil. China want money, America want money. I want to do it. The guarantee to the poor. See the church, that Anglican church that I'm following now for 100 years to be back. What's going on? What wrong? Why the leaders in the world can't live? Why suffer not the little children to come unto me? Forbid them not, such be the kingdom of God. To suffer the school children. Because the mother Barbies ain't got cabbage, they say no. Barbies, who needs to provide milk with vegetables, no, and bear bush? Through the great Prime Minister called One Half and Leroy Chapman Bobby Moore. Can you believe that? Shut down agriculture.
Agriculture is very important, and I see a lot of people going towards agriculture now with the whole COVID-19 situation.
You can imagine from the airport right by the bush.
Yep. I saw a study said Barbados is in more bush than back in the 60s. Back in the 60s, had a lot of sugarcane crops and so on. Bush Barbados. It's time to get it plowed up and get some food. I want to thank you very much for your contribution, sir. And I hope people will listen to the at least the agricultural part in terms of its importance. Brass Tacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Lanny. I believe you know who was speaking to.
Yeah, I know this voice. This is a very unique voice.
Now, listen, Corey. I was trying to help two guys in my area.
Only two? More than two. You help everybody.
But
you MP for down there.
Two specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the representative about 4 weeks ago, and I asked him what we can do for these two particular fellas. He gave me his number, constituency office number. Would you believe up to now, I haven't heard anything?
I believe that. No, and that's a mixture thing, sir. And I want you, and I want to use this opportunity to speak to the public about this, because I have a similar thing here saying, "No, good morning, Corey. Do you know if the unemployment benefits are still being paid? I submitted a form in April, but have not received any benefits. I know of people receiving two checks already. I call the NS many times, but they can't get through. I don't think it's fair that some people receive two checks and even more, and others have not received even one." What's happening in Barbados? There's a tsunami of requests, assistance, and need coming upon the persons who work in this field, and I know because I do. It is not purpose work in about 80% of the time where you actually leaving out somebody. Just understand that they may leave out these two, but they may deal with another 200 around the corner. Sometimes it has to do with lack of coordination, lack of systems in place to effectively get to every person or get to everybody in a fair way. I was investigating the same two-check thing, and I understand some of it had to do with alphabetical order. Some of it had to do with the amount of money being paid, paying the lesser amounts first, and different things cause different results, so to speak. But a lot of the times when I hear a message, there's like a hint that it was done through malice or maliciousness, when really and truly it is more that Barbados and many countries around the world, they not really have a coronavirus playbook by which they can say, we will do X when Y happens. The magnitude, 43,000 claims, 14,000 requests for vulnerable assistance. These are numbers previously unheard of, and hence because we are not a proactive society, and many places around the world did not have these kind of structures in place to treat to the need out there. And that is why I want to commend people like you, sir, who, because we can't just depend on the governments and the systems and so on. I want us to call more upon our neighbors, our community, our friends, our family, to be able to step up and fill the void till the system can actually kick in. And that is not a free pass for the system. The system must do better. Because the other 20% of the time, sometimes it is a lot of people looking at foolishness. What party you belong to? At things like, how can I block this for some kind of twisted joy? And I know what they're talking about. So that 20% we have to address. Communication is something that we have to address. The whole laziness of the Bajan psyche that things must come and drop in my lap and I don't go get up and try. That have to be addressed. So that 20% is very, very important. So I just want to fly that as well.
Yeah, one more thing before I go. Mm-hmm. You could remember that the Minister of Agriculture put a ban on turkey wings and chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. Remember that debate. Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Corey, I just do most of my shopping on marketplace, try to get bargains.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't seeing no bargains on frozen chicken. However you look, you seeing fresh chicken. So with all the frozen chicken that they're speaking about.
Hmm. Right, I heard that those claims as well. Then I saw an ad actually saying that there's a very cheap chicken available. And that was after your call, by the way. So I don't know if your call had anything to do with that. A lot of people were actually attacking my friend and your friend, James Paul, on Facebook in relation to the same thing. And then afterwards, I saw advertisements for some very, I shouldn't say cheap chicken, because people are thinking, not good, affordable chicken.
Yeah,
I saw it out there. So I don't know if that the frozen chicken that you were asking about a few weeks ago came out of the freezer, so to speak.
And then one thing, there's an advertisement that comes through with my good friend, Brother Daddy.
Yes, that one is one of you actually speaking about.
You get cheap chicken and cheap eggs, but he ain't telling you a price. Now I'm watching and then give me a price that I know I can go at Corey's store and get cheap eggs and cheap chicken. Mm. Don't just tell me.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you too. Thank you very much. Right, so some WhatsApps here, to get to them quickly as they build up. It says, good morning. There are some very young fellas who are tormenting adults with stones and sticks and even beating up on the drunk or weak people. They're terrorizing these in Garden Land. Police were called many times. Nobody ever came. We have the names of these youngsters. A streetlight was replaced in First Avenue, Garden Land. This is where everyone used to hide and run because it was very dark. You have to leave your light on to protect yourself. Also at the bottom of Headley's Land, some persons always burning some toxic garbage, which affects person's health in the area. I don't know how Barbados can get better when only the heights and terraces are managed and the villages are neglected. I hope someone can help us. Thank you. Keep up the good work. So again, here's a plea and a cry for some action, immediate action, some reaction, and some proactive action in relation to how do we stop this and prevent it from happening. And they outline the areas. I outline it. The police will know the reports that they got and confirm if this is true or false. Nelson is a product of his time. Times change. So if two generations following us decide that Mr. Barrow should come down, what happens? Keep all statues. Educate our children about each. Barbados belongs to all generations, not just this one. Statues reflect the whole history. And as I said before, this person is entitled to their view. Now, I may disagree about kind of equating Mr. Barrow and Nelson for obvious reasons, but at the same time, the person can go ahead and do so. I will not join them in that. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah. I'm wanting to speak to about the situation on Nelson's statue.
Mm-hmm. You have a Nelson show this morning. Go ahead.
I think that the best thing to do is to put it in a museum so that we can be able to show our children this is a man that used to be a part of Barbados and that the history will not be lost.
I think we've heard some comments of that, but I want to go deeper. Why are these your thoughts? And if you have a radio on behind you, just ease down the volume, no?
These thoughts are...
Right, some people are saying he should be moved.
Hello?
Some say he should remain and just educate. I'm still here. Why do you want him moved? Right. If you listen to the radio in your background, you're going to be, there's a delay and you're going to be distracted. So listen to the telephone and the telephone only.
Right. These thoughts are on me because for years we've been hearing about Nelson and nothing has been done about him. Mm-hmm. Overseas, there was an upsurge of riots and that was because of the situation there, how they treat the people, the black people over there. Mm-hmm. Some of the situations here might be like a slight situation over mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. but we are still in the same conformity as them, as we are all black people. So we have to think about them too, as we think about ourselves, right?
So you believe the psychology behind it is important?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to the persons that come out of the woodwork and they say, But moving him, how does that put food on my table tomorrow? What do you say to them?
I say to them that moving it would probably lessen putting food on the table, but it would prove that we are conscious and we are people who are moving on, and we need to address our people in the problems and the situations that we are going through white supremacy. So we had better do it now before it gets too late.
So it's almost the conscious versus the unconscious. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your call. Enjoy the rest of your day. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Corey.
Yes, please.
Well, I'm thinking about the reopening of Barbados with COVID-19.
Good.
Basically, right now, I think we are COVID-free. Mm-hmm. When we open up, we open up ourselves to get in COVID again. I know we don't live in a vacuum. I know Barbados needs to go forward. I've been watching some Australian television, and I've been seeing where people who were sent to hotel quarantine created massive problems. Whole hotel had to be locked down and stuff like that. I have no problem with Barbados opening back. I just think that every man Jack who comes has to be tested. Has to be, hopefully we have the rapid testing in place before our whatever. Every person should go through that. No one should be allowed to go for take the risk of self-quarantining to bring COVID back on us again. I mean, yes, I'm hearing from Mr. Bossy, we have the capacity and the capability of dealing with it. That's just not enough. I just think that we have to tell the airlines that they have to social distance or they can't come. We have to tell people you have to be tested before you come or when you get here. You must be tested or you'll be on that same flight back out. Have a good day, sir.
Okay. All right. The whole opening and the idea of the airport is, some people are saying, is lives versus livelihoods. And livelihoods can equal to lives. So it'd be interesting to hear all the different recommendations. I'm sure that persons at the top brass, the decision-making in this arena, would have looked at the whole idea of testing before and testing, some, I understand it's testing 72 hours before and all the different permutations of possibilities. But it'd be interesting to hear from you, the callers, your thoughts on it. Brastats, good morning. You on the air?
Morning.
Hi, morning.
Yes, I just called to resonate some of the things that Blaine Murray talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about moving Nelson, we realize over the years, we said that a lot of government workers ain't had a word. Pensioners, we do with the words. People in Barbados, some of them, ain't receive the money that they should get now. You think that government could spend money to talk about moving Nelson? You want to destroy this government? You would if this had happened, you destroy the country and the party. Right now, we have a prime minister that know where she wants to kind of carry the country. And where we are going, we are in good hands. And what we as people need to do, number one, look at ourselves. Understand what we want in 5 to 10 years' time and where we want to go. When we decide where we want to go, we will know that we're moving forward. But we can't keep looking back. Gone are the days we keep looking back. We have to know where we want to be in 5 years' time. Moving Nelson can help me in 5 years' time. We face a lot of problems now with this COVID thing that's going on right now. We need to look at technology, educating ourselves. We need to become scientists in our own country so that we will know in the future we can see after ourselves and our people. These are things that we got to concentrate on right now. If we spend, let me say, $80,000, $100,000, to move Nelson, where the money coming from? You think the money that the government receives from overseas to help the country, the prime minister could tell them that we spend that money moving Nelson? We'll be mad. So, you know, we look at it one way.
But what about, I want to challenge your thoughts, like I did the caller before you who had opposite thoughts to you. What about the psychology of it? And I'm going to go deeper with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to look at it at basic economics. You're in a house and you're making $200,
yeah,
and your bills are $200,
yeah,
and you just pay your bills. Can you save anything? Can you invest so you can get more if you do it like that?
No.
Right. So at some point, can you not owe the utility, you know, pay the most current and take $50 and invest in something that can give you a greater return? So that you can reach the point of $210 and $220. I see the whole idea of investing in our psyche, our pride, as something that can, as you say, in 5-10 years, help us to be better off financially by spending a meager $80,000 or $100,000. And when I say a meager in relation to government spending, government rent buildings around this place are almost $250,000. So what is $80 to invest in the psychological and almost mental emancipation of a people. Because one of the things that you would recognize with people, particularly in intergenerational poverty, is this lack of motivation. Because you look to the left and you look to the right, you look in front, you look behind, you look underneath you at times and above you, and you all you see is poverty, and you believe that that is your lot in life. So the psychology, the motivation, it makes you slump down. You can't even sit up straight. You can't even walk with your head up high. You can't even walk with your chest little, you know, a little stick out like a dove, like a pigeon. But that motivation brings a certain level of pride, that brings a certain level of industry for you to feel as though, yes, I am the choo-choo that could. I could get out there, I could get a job, I could invest, I could buy a bond, and I could do better. That is the link between the two that a lot of people are missing. What do you say to that?
So you mean to tell me moving Nelson, they called me to think different?
Yes.
You're trying to tell me?
Yes. Huh? Yes.
No. Listen to me, man. I ask my children if Nelson's still there. You don't concentrate on these things, Skipper. Mm-hmm. Listen, I travel all over the world. I see statues, and when I see them, I admire them for the artistic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't live in that country.
But everybody, you believe everybody thinks like you, or everybody thinks like me. People think different ways.
Yeah, but we got to reprogram our subconscious mind. Reprogram our subconscious mind.
But that's what the moving him is about.
No. Mm-hmm. We got to decide.
Mm-hmm.
We got to decide in life whether we're going forward or whether we're going back.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep going back, you can imagine right now, with this kind of behavior, the next generation that coming up, and Davis, you know what they say? Let me come to this way. Another 80 years from now, we will be in the 21st century, 2100. If you've got a child now that is 1 year, 40 years from now, that child will be 40 years. And look, like you may not be living. You may be done dead. Now, when these children will get 40, when they were 10, 12, and 13, they're hearing the same thing over and over. And in 40s and in 2060, they're going, will you really something? Well, this country ain't gone away. These people still talking about Nelson. And that child that is your child, like 2-3 years old now, you're not doing Nelson, you know. They're interested in themselves and moving forward. That's what they're interested in. And it is what you do today. We make your result greater tomorrow. And if we keep all
that. But you went to 2060, but I want to come to 2020. I want to come to 2020. When I look back and I look at the fact and I listen to my elders, and I understand that they were marching against this relic of the past of wrongdoing, a time of wrong in their mind. They have the right to think that. Y'all don't have the monopoly on thought, and no one does. I believe that we gloss over, we like to look at the tangible a lot, and we don't understand symbols. So let me ask you a question. If we were to change the Barbados flag back to the Union Jack, what would you think about something like that?
That's a good question. Mm. That's a good question. And I will parallel it with this here, right?
But you can answer it first,
yeah,
or
yeah,
you a parallel it?
No, I come up.
You do both together, okay.
We come up under the Union Jack. We understand it for what it was then and then. Then we get independence. So you see, Avita, you got to reprogram your subconscious mind. You left one era, which was the Union Jack, and you come to independence. But you try to move forward from there. You ain't going back to Union Jack. You move forward.
Right, but then the forward movement is the removal of certain symbols for some people.
Yeah, but if you can't just remove symbols just like this here, you know, because symbols portray something at a period of time, and that's part of history. That's part of history, and you can't erase history. Because, as I tell you, the next generation or two from now, they're going really marry, you know. Right now, you don't know nothing about Nelson. In the next couple of generations, I ain't know nothing about our book, Barra. And they're going to say, pull you down. And you'll be going on. Instead of going forward in life and going forward in your progress in educating yourself, you're going back to the same thing over and over. The next three generations, with them may be saying the same about the statues that we put up. So forget it. Move on. Look, we need to get involved in technology to carry this country forward. Right now, the government is on the threshold of moving this country from A, B, C, and D to go forward. And it's, we need to help the government in strategizing a way for the, our people. And if we keep with this kind of negative thing, you find that we're going, you go forward 2 steps, you're pulling it back 3 steps. We need to stop it.
No, let me tell you, as I said, what I like about this program is everybody is entitled to their opinion. Some people think that their opinion is the sole opinion, and that's where the real problem comes. I think that policymakers and those in authority need to listen to all these sides and then do what they are elected to do, decide at the end of the day. Some people like to run away from this discussion. I get sick of it because, as I said, it was a primary school. This was a big, big, big debate I remember going on at the time on the national stage. And then I learned even before I was born, it was going on. Before my mother was born, it was going on. So it can get a little sickening. But the most sickening part of it is the fact that we cannot move on because there are people who understand about symbolism and what does symbolism mean. You're talking about moving a country forward. Barbados has moved forward from when it was discovered in the 1600s. And it had a particular hint to it. And that hint still exists to this day. Because if you look at the 60s and then the 70s and then the 80s and then the 90s, you will see that Barbados have developed, it has developed, it has developed. But ask yourself the question, are the people moving forward with it? Are the masses moving forward with the country? Yes, there are some people who would have moved into the middle class. Some of them even slipped down from the middle class. When you look at the makeup of the country, when you look around, open your eyes. We have a very serious problem. But the majority of people do not see it because they walk around in the matrix, so to speak. They concentrate on tomorrow. They concentrate on 12 o'clock. Where some of the most successful people that we try to pull down, by the way, they think about the next 50 years and the next 99 years, and their modus operandi is very different. And that is why they can plan and execute and succeed. Whereas we know, I ain't care about that. I just care about, you know, they got reggae on the hill next year. Or, you know, like, I could get some peanut butter from the supermarket Friday. That is what they're focused on. They think, well, yes, that is important, but we got to walk and we got to chew gum. If you look around, you look at the statement of the Minister of Tourism, who said 85% of the business coming through the port is ZMs and so on, go through two people, Bernie Weatherhead and Mr. Foster. He said it, not me. When you look at the construction industry and who gets the big contracts, it's one or two players, not the same people that you say that we will move on and help in mass. They are not helped in that. Go on Broad Street, sir, and go and look in each store. Go on Swan Street and go and look in each store. And then look and see who are the vendors who are being run from pillar to point. And then ask as we move along this country in the esoteric talk and the rhetoric, ask yourself as the country move along, who is moving along? And we want to run away from a discussion of that underpins the way the psychology, the psyche of a people, very important. The tangible, yes, important, but they do not have to be mutually exclusive. You do not have to do one or the other. It does not have to be either or. It can be and. It can be. I give you the final word, sir.
Yeah, so you think that the reason why the country moved forward is because the majority of young people wearing about Nelson?
No, I think that they are not wearing. I think that they don't have the self-identity and the confidence based on the seed. We are very bad at this. Now, for a living, what do I do? People bring causes. People bring symptoms to me. Corey, this child is throwing rocks. Corey, this child is taking drugs. Corey, this child is beating their parents. You think I start there? I ask why emotional intelligence. I going backward. Why are they doing it? A lot of us as people, we look at the rotten apple. Let me take out this rotten apple. Let me pick it. You understand? The young people ain't thinking because knowing Nelson. Let me pick it. You understand? But one thing you will know is that the fruits will always grow back. The only way to get rid of that bad fruit, not bad tree, sir, is to get rid of the roots. Because even if you can't cut the trunk, even if you cut a branch, it is going to grow back. And Nelson is part of the seed and the root of the problem. That's what I am telling you. There's a link, there's a causation, there's a correlation. It is one whole story. It is not separated. And until the day that we wake up, until and unless, and I don't even think the masses will, because the average person don't see these things. And I don't think that we've had leadership in this country up to now that understands the fundamental importance of these things. And that is why the people think like this, because they're led like this. That is my humble opinion.
Corey, let me tell you something, see. I come up in the 60s, all right? And in the 60s, I know where you want to go, where you want for myself, and where you want to do.
Amen, and bless you. But yes, there are 287 other thousand people around this place.
Yeah, but mind you, parents have to lead the children and channel the children down a path.
If they don't know the path, and sorry for cutting in on you because you're going to blow back and forth here, but if they don't know the path, how they can lead the path?
Yeah,
coming up with the same people who were released from the plantation, right, is their grandparents who taught their parents that taught them go to school, get a good education so you could get a good job on the plantation. So if the parents don't know the way because they've been led, and that's why they go back, they're going to lead them back into the same trap every single time. Because you name parent or because you name adult don't mean that you know.
Milo, I don't know. Let me tell you something.
You don't know it's true.
You see, let me tell you something, man. I will really sit down and talk to you.
Well, I would love it too, because I don't like the back and forth on here.
I could sit down and talk to you. Let me tell you something. You think back in the 60s, and let me say the 50s, 60s, and we had the internet at that time. You don't think that in this day and age that we'd be years ahead of time?
I know. That's a non sequitur. That's a hypothetical non sequitur.
Right? You got the internet that teaches you everything. Everything.
That's a different debate, though, sir. That's the truth. But I like to keep focus.
I'm going
to
talk to you.
Well, leave your number with the producer. But young people that you know, yeah, young mean green behind the ears, green mean. I young, but I run long.
Yeah, I know.
And my eyes open as much as I think I can have them open.
I understand.
I don't know everything, but I like to think that my eyes open. I got a certain level of consciousness. I don't go along like a robot or a zombie. I don't ask why, you see?
Yes,
but it was fantastic speaking with you. You can leave your name with the producer if you wish.
Okay.
And one of these good days. 11 minutes after 11.